Hi everyone and welcome to Take 10 for Torah number 217. I wanted to share with you a Dvar Torah, actually a drasha that I gave, I think it's 10 years ago already. Shockingly, everything in the drasha is still true and still relevant to learn from and to listen to. We have not yet become perfect in this regard, so I guess it bears repeating. So the pasuk begins, as is well known, Ela told us Noach, Noach ish tzadik tamim hayu b'derosav, Esho Elokim esalech Noach. So these are the generations of Noach. He was tamim, perfect, wholesome in his generations. And Rashi, of course, raises the issue. Tamim hayu b'derosav. Yeah, in his generation, perhaps he was great, which means one of two things. And the contrast, in a different generation, maybe he wouldn't be so great. Like, for example, Rashi says, in Avraham's generation, ilo hayu b'derosav Avraham, lo hayu nechshav l'klum. That's one way of understanding it. Or, no, in his generation is great. So all the more so, had he been in a generation of good people, he would have been all the greater. Even with that negative effect, he was so good. So with greater people, he would have been great as well. Okay, so that's a difference of opinion about what is the nature of Noach. But I want to talk about something else, and perhaps we'll tie together why it is it was so important for us to compare Noach to Avraham. The Haftorah we read on Parshas Noach is from Yeshaya. And it talks about, it says the following thing, Kimei Noach Zosli, referring to the Mabel, the flood that flooded the land. Mei Noach, it's the waters of Noach. Now, you don't generally want your name associated with big floods or big, you know, typhoons or big tropical storms or big hurricanes. I can't imagine too many people in the Louisiana area are naming their kids Katrina these days, but who knows, what do I know? You don't want to be identified. Why would it be that the Navi identifies Noach as, or I should say the Mabel, as Mei Noach, the waters of Noach? What would this mean? So the Zohar, and we're going to quote the Zohar a few times today, the Zohar says that this implies that the flood was his fault. There actually was blame attached in naming it Mei Noach, and so we have to understand why that is. The Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah says that Noach on some level did not deserve to be saved from the punishment of the rest of the people. And how could that be? Was he involved in Hamas? As the Pasuk says, Ki malah ha'aretz Hamas, it was filled with theft of some kind of immoral behavior. How could that be? How was Noach involved in Hamas? What does the Medrash mean? So the answer probably comes from another Medrash. The Medrash says that from the phrase of Kinim Tasa LaTeva, when Noach is told to build the Teva, so he makes these Kinim, these floors, of the Teva, three floors, one for the animals, one for the people, one for the garbage. And so the Gemara says that the actual Teva, the Ark, was a kapara. How do we know it was a kapara, an atonement for Noach? Because kinim, which means otherwise not just floors, but also means birds, is what a mitzora, a person who is insensitive towards others, spoke Lashon Hara, that's what that person brings as an atonement. So the Medrash says, kinim is an atonement for the mitzora, so kinim must be an atonement here. So whatever Noach's problems were, the Teva experience was meant to transform him, the Teva experience was meant to change him. So what was it? What was it about Noach? What was it that made the flood his fault, so to speak? How in the world was he guilty of the crimes of his generation? And how is the experience in the Teva an atonement for those mistakes? So I think, you know, the classic understanding is, what in the world was Noach thinking? What went through his mind when God tells him, Ketz kol basar balafanai, the end of all flesh has come before me, the end of all people. That's it. I'm wiping them all out. So, you know, you hear that and you get nervous for a little bit. Oh, so one second, you're telling me this. So does that mean I'm not included? I'm going to survive? So how does Noach react? What does he do? Does he go out there and try to change people? Does he dive into God? Does he fight? Does he say, no, it's not okay. Maybe there are 10 tzaddikim. Maybe there are 10 people. No, he doesn't do any of that. What he does is he reacts with hammer and nails. And for preparing for what he believes is inevitable for 120 whole years, he goes and he builds the Teva. Very interestingly, the Zohar says as follows, and I'm going to Read it in English translation. Noah says before God, after he walks out of the Teva, and he sees the world destroyed. He says, Master of the universe, you're called compassionate. You should have been compassionate for your creations. God responded and said, you're a foolish shepherd. Now you say this? Why didn't you say this at the time that I told you that I saw that you were righteous among the generation? And afterwards, when I said that I will bring a flood upon the people? Or after, when I said to build an ark? I constantly delayed and I said, when is he, Noah, going to ask for compassion? And now and only now that the world is destroyed, now suddenly you're looking for compassion, you're looking to try to figure it out. So that's it seems that he is involved and blamed for not having done something sooner, not having begged, not having pleaded, etc. But it's also interesting that once he is out of the Teva, while he's there, he doesn't, all the 120 years when he reacts, he doesn't react properly, but somehow now he is prepared. After the Teva experience, he has this compassionate moment where he says, God, how could you do this? And that is reminiscent of Avraham, right? Avraham hears about Sodom, and Avraham says, hey, how could it be, you know, how could such a righteous God do this to the people if they're good people? Ulai yesh chamishim tzadikim. Let's negotiate. Let's figure this out. And so that's the difference, the Zohar says. It points out between Avraham and Noach, which points out why it is that we're constantly contrasting. What would it be if Noach would be in the generation of Avraham? Rabbi Yochanan says in the Zohar, quoted in the Zohar, come and see the difference between the righteous amongst the Jews after Noach and Noach. Noach did not defend his generation, and he didn't pray for them as Avraham did. He was suffering from a lack of empathy, a lack of compassion. I mean, how could it be that you're going to hear all of this is going down and you're not going to do anything about it? The Chassam Sofer points out, he says, you know, in the beginning of the parsha, Noach is called Tzadik. Noach ish Tzadik Tamim Hayeda B'Dorosav. And later on, before he goes into the Teva, after 120 years of hammering away, he's only called Tzadik. He's no longer called Tamim, which is wholesome, perfect. He's just Tzadik. Something descended, right, in his stock. There was something that he had done wrong throughout that time, and this would be the argument. The argument would be that failed compassion. He doesn't do anything to attempt to stop and to do that. Now, why is that like Hamas? Why is that Hamas? How is he associated with the sins of his generation? So there's an idea in Gemara and Brachos, Kol Hanosein Shalom and Ve'ena Machzir. Somebody gives you Shalom, right? He gives you, he says hi, he gives you a greeting. Nikra Gazlan, the Gemara and Brachos Tav Zayin. It says, you're called a Gazlan, you're called a thief. If somebody greets you and you don't respond, Rabbi Yochanan, it says, they would go out of his way to make sure that he would anticipate and he would say it first before anybody had the opportunity to even say it to him. Now, this idea of Gazlan, why are you called a thief? Because there's a social contract, and if I don't behave properly towards others, I don't give them what is due, so then I have stolen, so to speak, from them. We have a fascinating Rashi. Rashi says, with Avraham and Sarah later on in the story, so Avraham davens that he has children. Sarah complains, Chamasi alecha, I am angry with you. Chamas, what is chamas, or some language with chamas? Rashi says, what is chamas? You did chamas to me. Why? Because when you prayed for you, and you didn't pray for me. You said to God, Anochi holech hariri, I am childless, and you didn't talk about me. And so this contract of having to have other people in mind, to be sensitive towards their needs, is what Sarah criticizes Avraham for, calls that chamas, the same sin that the generation of Noah is indicted for, that same sin, the same social contract, or the breach, I should say, of the social contract, which calls you a gazlan, that thievery, that theft, that I owe you, I didn't take money out of your pocket, but I didn't care that money fell out of your pocket, so to speak. That's the difference. He didn't pick pockets, Noach. He didn't rob banks, but he was still a chamsan. He was still involved in those sins for not having done what he could have or should have done. So what's his atonement? How does he go from apathy to empathy? So the answer is he goes through the responsibilities of a year-long Teva experience. He has to literally take everything into his hands. He has the kinim, the floors, of all of these animals to take care of. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that Eliezer was the servant of Avraham, was having a conversation with Shem ben Noach, and he talked about how difficult it was, and how difficult it was for his father to take care of all the animals all day long, all year long, and the lesson that he was taught by the animals was the lesson of empathy. That's what his teva experience was, which is why when he leaves the teva, now suddenly he has compassion. So now suddenly he understands what it was or what he should have done better. Or now it seems to him that it could have been that he could have done more. You know, we always have experiences where we could have a little bit more compassion. Are we nervous, worried about other people's plight? Are we considering what it could be that is bothering them? Are we sensitive to others? We have an obligation to do so. And to not do so, we are also implicated in the generation of the flood, it seems. We are also implicated in not doing what we can when there's so much to do. Have a good Shabbos, and hopefully the lessons of Noach will inspire us to do better by others as often and as much as we can.